produce our own hardback covers in-house on the Casemaker. Whole Bibles will be run through the case-in process. Hardbacks are glued, covers are attached. They come off the end of the machine, they are boxed and ready to ship. These Bibles are now ready to be loaded into a truck, into a container, and a crate, or mailed out by box to a messenger who will distribute them to the lost world. They have been provided for, financially prayed over from the beginning to the end, and now are ready for God's will to be done with His Word.
It is His word, and it's for His glory. It has been said that a single copy of Scripture has the potential to reach 7 people for Christ in a majority world country. That's why we strive to deliver God's Word around the world. Here's how you could partner with us in this global impact. You can pray for Bearing Precious Seed. We need God's strength for this great work. You can provide a roll of paper. One roll of paper becomes about 10,000 John and Roman Scripture portions. You can sponsor 1 minute of runtime on the printing press. You can support BPS monthly. You could even become a messenger yourself. First Bible School of Translation is training men and women how to translate God's Word into Bible-less languages. And maybe God is asking you to become a laborer who will go into all the world with the gospel. I'm so glad that God has encouraged those who get involved with this promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Everyone, you guys braved the blizzard we had today, so I'm glad you're here today. We do have a guest speaker tonight. Al Braley is here, and he is the director of Bearing Precious Seeds, and you saw him, you know, he's actually a movie star, too. You're on your own short movie here, right, Brother Al? But he's going to come and speak to us tonight, and this is the organization that we want to be like when we grow up. Because this is the real deal, and so they are pumping out Bibles, you know, by the millions. And so they've partnered with us on our Sierra Leone project, those 65,000 New Testament that we're getting, and we're putting together right now in the armory. They came from Bearing Precious Seeds, and so we thought it was nice to have him come in. He's in to speak tonight, and we're meeting tomorrow to talk about the Albanian project coming up. And so a lot of things going on, so I'm glad you're here, and I'm just going to turn it over to you, and we'll go from there.
Well, we'll see how long my voice holds out. It's not been doing so well the last week or so, and I'm not sure if I have allergies. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's been a bit of a challenge. Most of you, I've been here one other time. I don't know if I remember all of you. I don't think I do, but I do remember the fellow that was leading the music because I walked around the corner and I saw him setting up a binder, and somebody said he couldn't see, and I'm like, what's his hands doing in the binder then? But he knows what he's doing, and I stood and watched him for a while, and glory to God for what he allows us to do for him. I'll start off and just give you a short testimony about myself. I was saved when I was 9 years old. I came home from church on a Wednesday night, and the preacher had preached hell pretty hot that night, and as a 9-year old, I knew I didn't want to go there. So I called out for my dad. He came in and took his Bible. We knelt beside the bed, and I accepted Christ as my Savior as a 9-year old. And I started printing Bibles 40 years later. You say, well, how'd that happen? Well, you know, when you're in high school, you have a goal. Now, if you think back to when you were in high school, you probably had a goal or two. Might have been to meet some person there in class and become their good friend and marry them or something. I mean, that might have been a goal. I don't know. But my goal was to line up across from somebody, and when they snapped the football, knock the guy across from me down. That was just a goal I had. And I loved doing that. And I was big enough, and I knocked most of them down in high school. But I had a goal to try to play in college, and I actually got a partial scholarship to Georgetown College in Kentucky, and I went down there, and that was the first time in my life I'd ever been hit. It hurt, man. Those guys are pretty good. You know, I mean, that's, you're not bigger than all of them. In fact, I was the smallest one on the tackle. So anyway, that was, I wasn't having so much fun, so I came home, and I went to UC for a couple of quarters, and a guy stopped by our church. And he walks up to me after the service and he says, you know, you ought to go to Mexico with me on a missions trip. And I said, well, I just started a job and I'm going to school. I said, I doubt that I could get off. He said, would you ask him? I said, well, I promise you this, I'll go in and ask him. Now, have you ever walked up to somebody and asked them a question, wanting it to go one way? Yeah, me too. I walked up to my boss. I looked at him. I said, Calvin, I said, there is no way that I can get off for 2 weeks and go to Mexico on a missions trip, is there? He looked at me and said, sure, have a good time. I thought, well, this ain't working out so well. So I called the fellow, and he says, okay. He says, we're leaving from up in Michigan. I just said that word, and I'm from Ohio. You don't say that word in Ohio. But I said, okay, well, Michigan was 5 hours, where he was 5 hours north of where I live. I drove up there, and I walked in the back of that church. I was 20 years old, slid in the back row, and I thought, what in the world am I doing here? And I looked up toward the front of the church, and I saw this young lady, and I said, now, if she's going on this trip, this would be a good trip. You know, I was 20. Wasn't married and thought that'd probably be a good idea someday. And looked up there, and sure enough, the guy that invited me to go to Mexico, Carlos Demarest, that was his youngest daughter. In August, we'll have been married 45 years. That was my introduction to Bearing Precious Seed way back then. On that trip, I'm just sharing a testimony so you know where I come from here. On that trip, I surrendered my life to do whatever God would have me to do. I didn't know what that meant, but I did it. So I come home and I finished up that quarter at UC and I enrolled in the Bible College at First Baptist Church in Milford. I graduated in May of 1980 and I thought, okay, I just graduated from Bible College. I'm going to go into full-time ministry. Well, you ever stop and thought about what that means? Full-time ministry. You know, every one of us should be in full-time ministry. I don't care if you're working as a plumber. I don't care if you're working at a factory. I don't care if you're driving a truck. You're in full-time ministry. You're supposed to tell others about Christ. You're supposed to show Christ to them with your life. You know when I learned that? Graduated from college at 22. And I started working with teenagers as a layman. And I worked with them for 13 years. And you know, God was just training me for some things ahead. I worked for a company in Cincinnati. I was a supervisor. They sold us to a Japanese company, so I got to go to Japan and be brainwashed for 8 days because they were supposed to be so much better at what they were doing than we are. And I found out they're human just like we are. And I worked for that company for 20 years. They were getting ready to close our place. We made semiconductors. I thought it was kind of funny that we ran into a semiconductor problem, right? Here a few years ago, they couldn't get parts for their trucks because they were made overseas. But you know, God was teaching me something through every step. So I knew they were getting ready to close, so I sent out two resumes. and Ford Motor Company called me to work for them. Do you ever get to a point where you thought, okay, I got it made now. I'm making really good money. But you know what? That was the best paying, worst job I've ever had in my life. I worked there 3 years, and they asked me to do something that was unethical. I wouldn't do it. So they took me to the office, and they said, you need to leave and sign this paper and leave. I said, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not signing your paper. I went and talked to my pastor. He said, well, they're trying to get rid of you. I said, yep, I think so. He said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, do this. This was December when all this happened, okay? I'm just sharing this so you know how I got to where I am. It was December, and he said, go in and tell them if they'll give you full pay and full benefits till the end of March, you'll sign their paper. I said, well, they told me 2 weeks. He says, just tell them that. I went in the next day and some things happened. I won't go into all the details, but they said, are you going to sign this paper or not? I said, well, no, I went and got some advice, and the only way I'm signing your paper is if you give me full pay and benefits till the end of March. Otherwise, you do what you have to do, and my advisor and I'll do what we have to do. Now, they thought I talked to a lawyer, okay? They came in the next day, and they had all that paperwork laid out. They actually gave me outplacement service. All that means is you can go into this little office, and you put in your resume, and it goes out all over. You don't even know where it goes. It got to be March, and I was still getting paid from that place, you know, from Ford, and didn't have a job yet. You ever get nervous? I was getting a little nervous. Two kids, wife, still making good money until the next 3 weeks. Well, I got a call. They wanted to talk to me. I said, well, I don't know how you got my resume, but I didn't apply there. Well, it was because of what Ford had done. It's because of what God had done. But it was a printing company. I went into this printing company. And the first week I was there, they had missed out on my training for safety. So I was going through safety training with a director of safety. And something happened, and things were just really weird. People were running everywhere, and they come in and got the safety director, and he left. They come in and told me, go home, we'll call you. I didn't know what had happened. What had happened was a lady had got on the elevator on the fourth floor. This building was 110 years old with a roll of paper and a hand truck, which they did all the time. She hit the button on the elevator. It broke, turned sideways, and crushed her and killed her. So OSHA came in. Everybody was out of there for a week. They called us all back in. Now, remember, I've been here a week. Remember what I said earlier, how you're supposed to tell people about Jesus? That lady's testimony that she was saved, and people in the building knew that. Well, the president of the company's there, he said, we're going to have a meeting, and these six people are going to tell the people this. And I'm standing there. I've been here a week and a half. Does anybody have any questions? He looks at me and says, who are you? I said, well, I just got hired here. I said, that really doesn't matter. I said, but, you know, I go to church all the time. I said, and I like to hear from the pastor when it's this important or very important, not the Sunday school teachers. Now, I was working for one of these dudes that was supposed to do this, okay? He was a manager. It was deathly quiet in that room. And you know what happened was he stood there for a minute and he goes, all right, we're having one meeting and I'm doing the meeting. That was my introduction to the president. I worked there the next 4 years. I was promoted four times and became the third shift superintendent in that plant. And you know, I think it was because of that introduction. But I also know what God allowed me to learn while I was there. I'd never worked around presses before. I didn't know a thing about printing. I still can't run a press because it scares me. A lot of pressmen are missing fingers. Ours aren't, thank goodness. But God puts us some places so we can learn what we need to learn. Now, I tell people I was a slow learner because I surrendered my life at 20 years old, and God allowed me to come to Bearing Precious Seed as the director at 49 years old. He said, what did you do in the meantime? Well, I worked in the church, and I was a deacon, and I did things. I taught Sunday school classes and did different things like that. But God opened that door. But now is what I want to get to. When Pastor called me on that October Saturday morning, he says, can you come by my office? I said, sure. Now, I knew what day it was because the first weekend in October every year, there's a car show at Claremont County. And the cars have to be older than 1970 to get on the grounds. And I go and hang out there on Saturday just looking at cars going, wow, that's pretty neat. But that's where I was. He called me and said, can you come to the office? So I went by his office and he said, I'd like for you to come and be the director at Bearing Precious Seed. Remember what day it is? It's the first weekend in October. I said, shouldn't we pray about this? He said, yeah, how long you want to pray? How about the end of the year? Yeah, that's me. He said, okay. Well, you know, within a week, I knew what I needed to tell him. You ever been in that situation, but you put it off? You know, he wasn't asking me every week what was going on. I think in November, he said, you still praying about it? I said, yeah. And I was. But I wanted to make sure in my heart, I wasn't that afraid of what was going to happen because God's going to take care of it. But it was a step of faith. Now, we're at the same deacon's house on Sunday night or on New Year's Eve. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We had a bunch of them in different places, but Pastor and I and some other folks were there at this deacon's house. He walks up to me 31st of December. He said, well, what's your answer? I reached in my pocket and I took out this piece of folded paper and I handed it to him. He took it and stuck it in his pocket. I said, Pastor, aren't you going to look at that? He said, oh, no, I knew in October what I was going to say. Now, how come we do things like that? How come we kind of doubt what God can do? My question for you tonight, based on that, is came to Bearing Precious Seed, and what I'd learned over those years that I worked in manufacturing, and I learned a whole lot about quality. I learned a whole lot about efficiencies, and I learned about people. And you know, I think God was training me through all that. Now, a whole lot of us here, you may have a different skill set or whatever, but all of us are supposed to communicate the gospel to others. Came to Bearing Precious Seed, and nobody left me the guidebook on how you're supposed to meet pastors and do whatever. And, you know, it takes funds to keep this ministry going. So I ask a few questions, and they say, oh, no, we don't do it that way. We do this or we do that. I'd never been to a conference that I know of where a bunch of pastors were, but I thought, man, that'd be a good way to meet pastors. So I started looking in these different publications, and, you know, they have one out in California. It's in Santa Clara, California. You know that 20 years I put in the semiconductor business? That's Silicon Valley out there. I always wanted to see Silicon Valley when I worked at the semiconductor place. I end up seeing Silicon Valley at a Bible conference. And you know, it was like, okay, I got to see Silicon Valley, but boy, what we're doing is a whole lot more important than those chips. Amen. And you know, I went in there and Pastor Jack Treiber, never met him before. This happened to me on a Sunday. Now I'm just sharing a testimony this evening. In a few minutes, we'll get into the Word of God for just a few minutes. We had lunch because they have an early bird lunch for people that come. And he sits at my table and he says, hey, you ever been to California? I said, first time. He said, well, why don't you go down and see I think it's called the 17-mile loop. I said, what's that? He says, oh, it's about an hour south of here. And he says, it's really pretty. It goes out by the bay and it ends up at Pebble Beach, the golf course. Well, I thought I'd like to see that. So we drive down there Sunday afternoon. We do the loop. There's about 20 stops. And the last one's at Pebble Beach. So I walk right through the clubhouse. I thought, man, I'm here. I'm going to see this 18th hole and 18th green. So I walk right through the clubhouse like I was a member. Walked outside, walked down through there to see it all. And man, this is really, really pretty. You know, I look at my watch. Remember, it's an hour there, 45 minutes, church is going to start. I'm like, oh, no. So we jump in the car and we take off. Now, they sing a long time. Always. So we slip in the back row of this place. It'll seat over 3,000 people. I thought, okay, we're here. Jack Treiber walks up to the pulpit, greets everybody, and he goes, Brother Braley, it's good you can make it to church tonight. That's my introduction to Jack Treiber. But you know that man, he introduced us to so many pastors in California. And there's probably 20 churches that support Bearing Precious Seed because of going to meetings like that. Maybe more than that. But you know, just because we don't know how to do something, let God do it. The fear we have sometimes is man-made fear. A lot of times we'll talk ourselves out of things. Bearing Precious Seed right now, in October of this last year, we passed 250 million scripture. It's kind of cool to say, hey, we did a quarter billion scripture since the beginning. These numbers that were at the end of the video, they're outdated already, and those are 2 years old. We're 72 languages now, 140 countries. And that's all because of God. It's not because of us. He's doing it all. Another dumb thing I've done in my life, which tonight's confession time, all right? Somebody asked me, they said, when are you going to get a newer press? This was 5-6 years ago. I said, oh, the next guy can do that. How many times you say, oh, the next guy can do that? I'm too old. The next guy can do that. And probably what we're really saying is, I don't want to do it. Well, I never bought a press before like that. Not that big. Right after I said, let the next guy do it, it was probably weeks, a pastor friend of mine in Maryland called and says, hey, Al, I think the press in Tennessee is available. So I called and I said, can I come down and see your press? Went down to see it. Walked through. They weren't running it at the time, and I talked to the pressman. They said, the only thing they're running is a few things here and there. They were farming out this magazine that they do. I said, hey, are you going to sell your press? No, we're not selling our press. I said, okay. So I'd ask while I was here. I said, hey, if you do, why don't you call us? They paid $1.9 million for that press. I mean, it's huge. I went home and didn't think too much more about it, but a group came through and took a tour and said, what are your needs? I said, well, I think we're going to buy a press. Well, how much do you think that's going to be? I said, I have no idea, but it's going to be expensive. Didn't hear from them. They helped ministries, but I didn't hear from them. My wife and I were in Florida later that year, and I get a phone call, and I said, are you still interested in buying her press? Guys, have you ever been interested in a truck and know you can't afford it? Yeah, I see them all the time. I thought, boy, that'd be nice. Quit looking at that truck, all right? Well, I told them, yeah, we were interested, knowing that they had paid $1.9 million for it. So he said, well, I'll get back to you with the price. I said, okay. Meantime, the check comes from that group. It's $100,000. I didn't have anything before, but now we had $100,000, so we got something. He called back and he says, we want $200,000 for it. I thought, you paid $1.9 million. But he said, we're going to throw in $50,000 worth of paper and a forklift. I said, could you send me the inventory of the paper and a picture of the forklift? It was a delay tactic, okay. So he did. Well, I'm not kidding. I've never seen a forklift like that forklift, and I didn't want it. I'd be afraid to get on that thing. It was a Datsun. I don't know if you've ever seen a Datsun forklift, but it just wasn't that. And we couldn't use any of the paper, so I thought, okay, we've got a $50,000 bargaining chip here. So I offered him $100 first. He said, nope, can't take $100. I said, well, don't sell it. I'll get back to you. Better pray a bit. Well, a guy comes in and he says, can we take a tour of the shop? Would you take me through the shop? I said, sure. So we're walking through the shop, and I'm telling him what I would tell you if you came. You know, God gave us this, and God did this, and this will do that, and whatever. And we're walking past our press, the old one, and the door's open. And he kneels down and he looks in here and he goes, Al, what's that toothpick doing in there? I said, well, it's holding the solenoid open so this thing will run. He said, wait a minute. Now, they'll go to this extent to, I said, oh yeah, they're printing the Bible and if a toothpick will keep it running, we'll use a toothpick. He goes, well, how much is the part? I said, it's $3,000. I said, but you know how many toothpicks you can buy for $3,000? He just shook his head. And I said, we'll eventually replace it, but that's what we're doing for now. He goes, will you go to dinner with me? Now, I just went to dinner with your pastor, and I'm not good at much, but I'm good at dinner. So we're sitting at dinner, and he goes, now, he said, what do you think you're going to be able to buy that press for? I said, well, I offered them $100, and they wouldn't take it. I said, but I think God's going to let us get it for $150. He said, okay, I'll give you the $50,000. I never met that guy till that day. He said, now, I got another question. I said, okay. He said, what's it going to cost to move it? I said, well, it's $138,000 to move it from there to here and set it up. Well, that's about what I got coming back from some investments, so I'm going to take care of that for you, too. I like meeting guys like that. But it wasn't us. I mean, it was God bringing him through there at that time. And, you know, I called back and offered him $150 for it, and they took it. And we had the money to install it. And God did all that. They started moving. It took 9 semis to bring that thing up. It took from February the 2nd until May the 2nd to put it in. Those guys lived there, the company that was moving it for us. And, you know, God did all that, and it's exciting how he did it. And I love sharing that testimony. But, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to do with that. He did it. It's his word. It won't return void. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. You know, you folks, you're publishing the word of God here. It's a great thing. I don't know how many people have been affected by bearing precious seed through the years, and the Bible's gone out of there. But, you know, God's keeping track of all that. One day we may know, but I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot because it's word, it's his word, and he told us it would not return void. So far this year, we've been able to produce $3.5 million since January the 1st. Last year was 12.8 million. And you know, we have some limiting factors. One of them is paper, but God keeps giving us paper. He keeps making sure we've got paper to put in that press. The other limiting factor is where it's going. You say, well, what do you mean where it's going? Well, we've got to have people distribute it. If you print it and it doesn't go anywhere, it's paper. But it's His Word and it keeps going out. And we keep making new connections. And just like tonight, meeting a fellow from India. And, you know, God lines those things up. And I could give testimony for all that, but he continues to put it where He wants it, when He wants it there. We'll turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 50, if you would. We're going to just go through a few things here, and I have a thought tonight for you. I'll leave a couple of prayer requests with you. We have a good crew. Jerry McNeely, he's 65 now, and he's our pressman, but, you know, he's trained a 40, I think he's 44 years old now, that's running our big press. He's trained a fellow that's 20-something that's running our smaller press. We've got another 20-year-old running our Diddy press, and another one running our, so we've got pressmen in line. We've got pressmen that are learning and pressmen that are, you know, able to run everything we have there if Jerry would not be there. But he's done a great job training all those folks. But you know, one of our pressmen is in the Philippines right now. He feels like God wants him to be in the Philippines. I'm not going to stand in the way and say, oh, no. I want him to do what God wants him to do. We've got another one that's going to Colombia for 2 weeks or 2 months this summer. He's been down there 3 times and I had guys come to me and say, what if these guys leave? Well, God's able. He's going to replace them. You know, we may not see from where, but he's going to take care of it. We've got a press that needs to be updated. And some guy gave us a price, and I kind of laughed. I'm like, man, we didn't pay that much for the big one we got. I'll wait on God to give us one. And if we take a walk through the shop, I can show you piece of equipment after piece of equipment that He has given us for pennies on the dollar. There's always circumstances. But, you know, we can't sit around and look at the circumstances and get worried about it. We just got to take it to God and let Him do it. It fell in the Bible. They had a lot of circumstances. Genesis chapter 50. Excuse me. We'll begin reading in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray ye now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of our servants of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. His brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. Now, think about something real quick. Hadn't that forgiveness already taken place when they went before Joseph? But now that Dad died, the brethren are all worried about it. They're worried about what they did back there. That was in the past. You know, we can get dwelling on things that happened in the past and it really messes us up. Person gets saved and they start talking about the sin back there. No, we need to go forward and do what God would have us to do. You can get very discouraged looking backwards. Verse 19, it says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. That's the verse I want you to think about tonight. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? You know, I gave you some examples and talked about some things in my life. And there's a whole lot more we could talk about, but why didn't I tell my pastor 2 weeks after he asked me what I was going to do? There was a little bit of fear there, wasn't there? A little bit of fear of the unknown. Now, if I ask in here tonight when we started, can God do anything? Everybody in here says, oh yeah, he can do anything. Do we really believe that? You know, we can walk back here to what you guys call the armor. We can see what God did, what he's done, what he continues to do with his word. I could walk you through Bearing Precious Seed. I could walk you through about 20 ministries across the United States. They're helping get the word of God out. And God keeps taking care of all of it. Verse 20, it says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it was this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and the little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And you know, how many times do we take a situation and we don't handle it the way God would want us to handle it? Many times I think we harbor things that we don't need to harbor. When I worked at Ford, I mentioned that one of the guys that was responsible for me leaving there, it was easy for me to get mad at him. But it wasn't right. I can see where God was moving to get me where I needed to be. I can see what God was doing now looking back. You know, many times when we do something for God, we think, oh no, can I get through this? Can I do it? If you put God in his proper place, you're going to get through whatever the situation is. I was reading earlier today in the book of Job, the first few chapters, and thinking, wow, how could he deal with all that the right way? He was right where he needed to be with God. I believe he was in the place of God. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? That's a question I want you to answer for yourself tonight. Now, wherever that is, I mean, you know, your job or your family or wherever you're at, it ought to be in the place of God. Right where he would have you to be. You say, well, I've made some mistakes. You're going to keep making them if you don't get God in the right place. He needs to be right where he needs to be in your life. Am I in the place of God? I believe Joseph went through a lot of things, a lot of circumstances, a lot of things that he could have been very upset about. Yet his outlook was, people meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Your life, your testimony. I love hearing people's testimonies, how they got saved. Somebody that's a brand new Christian, you ever heard them say, yeah, pastor saved me. But that's not what they're saying. They've not grown enough to know the difference. Pastor may have led them through a scripture and showed them how to be saved. But you know, we should continually be growing closer to God. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Tonight, is there anything that you're fearing that you don't need to be? One of the things that I read about Joseph, it says, the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. He's talking about Joseph taking care of things. Joseph was put in a lot of different situations. But all through it, I believe God was training him for what he was going to do. And you know, he had him right in the place he needed to be, because he saved much people alive, is what verse 20 says. But for as you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. What we're doing with the Word of God, it is to save people, so people can accept Christ as their Savior. Church, I appreciate everything you do here. Again, only God knows the results of everything that you've done up to this point. But I believe the future is what he wants us to do and continue to do that. I don't know the numbers that you've done here. I should know that probably, but I don't. But I'm sure somebody here has been keeping track, and they can share that with me later. But you know, when I was in California this last trip for their conference, I got to wondering what North Valley had done, because they've been ordering scripture. And when they sent me the number back, I was amazed. In the last 3 years, they passed out 502,000 John and Romans in Silicon Valley. Glory to God for that. Glory to God. I mean, there's millions of people there. And you know, you throw out that number, 250 million, boy, that sounds really good until you do the math of the whole world. And it's a drop in the bucket. We're going to keep printing. We're going to keep doing what God would have us to do. And I hope we can partner together for a long time. And you know, thank you for what you do, church. Keep doing it for him. And each one of us need to make sure we're in the place of God. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father in heaven, as the pastor will come and end the service the way that they normally do, Lord, I pray that everyone here, Lord, just looks to you, and Lord, we try to be exactly where you'd have us to be every day in our work and in our leisure time, and Lord, everything. We want to be in the place of God, and Lord, be with this church. We thank you for it. Thank you for the lighthouses in this area as well as around the world and the outreach that it has. Lord, continue to bless them. I pray for home and Lord, that things will run well the next few days, and be with the guys there in the shop, and or most of all, help us to do exactly what you would have us to do with your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
You got me up there. There you go. That's a good word. When you see, how many of you guys are familiar with bearing precious seed? I think most of us are. Some of us may not be. So, bearing precious seed is a prolific ministry, and I'm sure Al, you know, his testimony is amazing, and he can't overstate the impact that God has had through that ministry. It's tremendous. And, it's an example of all of us. When I first got saved, I used to hear of Dr. Charles Keene and Bearing Precious Seed, and our church would do projects, and, it was amazing, you know, just some of the things that we would do as a young Christian, and we would be excited just jumping in and helping what God was doing with BPS out in, Ohio, and myself, you know, just kind of getting in there and collating. I remember meeting, I think the Trudes. I remember the Trudes working that back in the day when I was just a baby Christian, and just getting involved in that. It was so exciting to be a part of it. And so when we planted the church here, we used to take trips to KCBT the first several years and annually, and we would assemble Bibles. And I don't think anybody in the room here was part of that, but Amy. And, well, you were a part of it, but I mean, with HBF back when we were taking trips here. So, yeah, you were probably part of KCBT back then. Yeah. When we started the church here, we took, the first few years we would go up there and participate in what we was always, you know, the Bible conference. So as far as HBF folks are concerned, I think Amy's the only one here tonight that was a part of those little journeys we would take. And I remember it'd be like Doris Stanley and Doyle, and is a handful. We might have 10 people, you know, get in the van, which, by the way, that's like at the time a third of our church. And so we get in the van and we go up there, and I don't know, you, Grants, did you go up on those? That was early on. You were here at the church. Yeah, you had little kids. Yeah, so it was not little kid friendly. And so, yeah, that's right. Kyle and Jacob were just hikesters back then. That's crazy. So, well, the sad thing is there's more to it than this. So in our church up there, it fell out of vogue. You know, it was just, for whatever reasons, they quit doing it. And we weren't doing it we weren't doing it because we had nowhere to go. We were depending on them to do it because we didn't have the wherewithal to do binding and trimming and all of the things that were required. And so it wasn't until Pastor Randy came and we were reinvigorated in the ministry. Randy actually took a trip up to Seattle. I forget that brother's name, Mr. Smith, Pastor Smith. I can't remember. Was it Mark Smith? That's right, Mark Smith. And at that conference, he was reinvigorated. Randy himself being a recipient of BPS Bibles and Beams Bibles over in Zambia. You know, I was bringing representatives in back then from Beams and then also Bearing Precious Seed. So as we started putting Bibles back together, you guys know Terry Ogle. He was kind of a remnant, and he and the team were just faithful to keep putting Bibles together. Even though our sending church quit putting them together, they just did a conference up in Excelsior Springs every year and kept putting Bibles together and using the old equipment. And so, make a short story long, they ended up, for those who don't know, we one day, who's the missions pastor up there, Amy? It fell out of my mind. Who? No, not Mark. Jay Grimwood. Yeah, Jay Grimwood. He's in the discipleship line somehow. Jim Boyette, Jay Grimwood, Tyler Scholes, Tom Ford, Tyler Scholes, all that. So Jay Grimwood calls us up and he says, "Hey, we'd like to sell you that equipment." And then we responded, "Well, that'd be great, but we don't have any money, so why don't you give it to us?" And it goes right along with what Al's saying right here. And we'd love to take that equipment off your hands. But we'd love, because we were the only one locally, what was going on up north, we were the only church that was still actively. Now, we were in a groove. Every year we were doing Bible publishing. The first Bibles we did, the very first Bibles that came off the binder went to Bhutan. I delivered some Bibles to Bhutan. So the very first Bibles went to English speakers in a closed country. And so praise the Lord for that. And we were hooked, and as you guys know, the first, I think we did 2,000 whole Bibles and 1,000 New Testaments, or 2,000 New Testaments, 1,000 whole Bibles, whatever it was. And we thought, well, that's going to last us forever, because we needed pew Bibles, jail Bibles, and then the rest were like, well, we'll take us a while, but we'll hand those out. It was in less than 2 years, every Bible was gone, and we had to re-up and do it again. And that's when Pastor Randy and I went out to visit Dale Money, and we'd start helping BPS with some of their projects and try to do some projects with people that we were also supporting in missions and so on and so forth. So you had the Romanian translation, you had the Myanmar, the Burmese translation, things like that. And we realized our quality was not up to the BPS standard. That was a shocker. Me and Randy were out at BPS, and I really appreciate this, Al. You may not know this, but we went out. First, I called Dr. Charles King, because that's the only thing I knew about Bearing Precious Seeds personally as a young pastor. And I'm like, hey, Dr. Charles King. So I call up to Bearing Precious Seeds. I want to talk to Dr. Charles King. And they put me through to this fellow named Dale Money. And so he was, I guess, in he was the advocate. So we end up flying up there and we did meet with Dr. Keene, but Dale met us at the airport and brought us in, and we met with Dr. Keene and went to the office that Al operates, and we sat down and talked to Dr. Keene about Nepali Bibles and different projects, and And Dale Money pulled one of our Bibles out and showed us, like, see this? This really isn't what we do. And he was nicer than that, but that's in essence what he said. And it was a crushed spine, too much glue, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a wonderful meeting, actually, because it really helped us realize, and, you know, this is what BPS puts out, and this is what you guys have been producing. And I don't say this to knock anything other than to say, you know, God took us where we were at, but he was taking us where we were going through discipleship. We're a big discipleship church. And so we needed an example to follow. And Bearing Precious Seed was an example because they do this with excellence. And I know from experience, and from just history, some of what we were doing back in the day, it was exciting and it was invigorating. But I think there are times you can lose the really essence of what you're trying to do, which is get the Word of God, which we believe is preserved for us in English. Get that Bible, if it's in an English or whatever translation, but get that Bible to the hearts and the hands of the people that need it, right? And that is the essence of what we're trying to accomplish. And you want to do that with excellence. It's God's Word. And so that was a great meeting because we realized at that meeting our quality had to go up. And I don't know, Bob, were you involved in it at that time? I don't think you were at quite that. At that time, Bob wasn't where he was at, but Randy came back, and man, I can't say enough about Randy Foster and his investment and commitment to that. And he started going about looking at what we were doing. We had been gifted somewhere along the way. We hadn't been gifted the equipment yet, but the end of that story with Jay. Jay calls us up a few years later. It didn't happen overnight. It was a few years later. We kept, you know, bringing the team down and sending them back, and Randy started talking about, hey, we got to do better quality. We got to do better quality. And then Jay Grimwood calls us one day and says, hey, you can have that equipment. We're like, great. Now where are we going to put it? So we rented that little shed up the street. And so that's where we stored the stuff. And we didn't have a trimmer yet. And then we went through the ordeal of buying the box trimmer, realizing that's not going to be enough. And we needed it. Of course, we got the slicer. And now, of course, what we have today, praise God. And God is just incrementally blessed each step of the way, just as Al was talking about. And Al, I just want you to know, we're just following your example of faithfulness and exactly what he was saying. And also learning and growing as we go, because you don't know what you don't know, right? And then as you grow, as you go, you learn. And spiritually, it's the same thing. You don't know what you don't know. And that's why I want to encourage those of you that are in discipleship, continue to follow the Word of God, follow those that are going before, continue to learn those lessons. And by God's grace now, I'm not saying every Bible is perfect, but I can tell you, even I, an amateur, can look at a spine now and know, you know, if it's got too much glue, been crushed, et cetera, and little things that initially we put out thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles at our previous church. And I can tell you guys, the quality that Heartland's putting out, that Word First, I should say, Word First Bible Publishing's putting out, is far surpasses the quality of anything that we ever did at KCBT. And so quantity's important, but so is quality. And so I really appreciate that, because when those Bibles get where they need to go, the covers, as long as they can, need to stay on, right? And the glue needs to stay there and all of those things. And so it all goes together. So praise God for that. And so let's go ahead and get into the prayer season. I just want to mention that. And I just want to thank you, Al. I want to thank Bearing Precious Seed. I want to even thank Dale Money for being so forthright with us and helping us become better Bible publishers, right? Better stewards of the Word of God. And so the Word of God is precious, and it's important that we do a good job. And by the way, so Bob Hall is just like Randy in that regard, and he does an excellent job, good quality control. And so all of you guys that are involved, all of us that are involved in the publishing, you know, continue to do what you're doing, and we look forward to continuing to assemble. How many have we done, Bob? Do you know total? We have it. We do have it written down, but I don't know. In the last few years, we've shoot now for 100,000 binds, is what we call it. And so some years we get it, some years we don't. But also we want to have substantial, we want to be, you know, engaging in substantial distribution where we can. And even though we're small, we want to be strategic in how we get the Word of God out where we're able to. So it's a privilege to partner with Al. And I do pray that we continue to be faithful with what we've got and follow your example. And thanks for being a great example to us. We really owe you guys a lot. And so one of the reasons Al's here, I don't mind sharing, is the something we can be praying about, to segue to praying, is the Albanian translation. And so be praying for Arion as he is, they have secured a, I want to call him a checker, but they're more than that, kind of like an editor. This person is an Albanian, a professional editor who's also a Christian and in true to their church, their ministry. So it's the perfect thing that, that they need for this project. Of course, God provides. And so be praying for, it's a female, be praying for her as she, it's been diligently compared, obviously, among the churches and the pastors, especially the difficult passages. But this now is the finished product of the New Testament. She's going to be going over that as Arion and Yonita finish up the whole Old Testament and get the whole Bible prepared. They're on a very aggressive schedule to complete the Bible in Albanian. So just be praying for them. It's probably not realistic, but just be praying that they, you know, do things decently in order and get all of that done, and that we can, have a real impact on that. Now, also, in association with that, here in a few weeks, you'll get to meet Vinny Nigro. He's going to be going to Kosovo, and he's going to be one of the recipients of that Bible, and as he gets that into the Muslim-speaking peoples that speak Albanian. So that's going to be an exciting thing. So all of that is coming together right on time, and so we need to be continual in prayer about our peace in it. Another thing you need to see on the prayer list is Mike Perry. Some of you know Mike Perry, some of you don't, but Mike Perry, he was a member here at HBF for many years.